Shmuel was the last of the Shef, and the judges ruled Am Yisrael in the period before there was a king.
Yet, in the words of the Radak, he was probably the greatest Navi after Moshe Rabbeinu. Still, he was modest, unassuming, and extremely positive. On the way to crown Shaul as king, he asked Am Yisrael, "Does anyone have any claim against me? Did I ever take something from any of you?" He had to be reassured by the people that he was blameless, even though he never took anything for his services. That is why the Pasuk in Tehillim says, "Moshe v'Aaron mekayinav v'Shmuel mekari shmoi," because Shmuel HaNavi's outstanding qualities, he was comparable to Moshe and Aaron. Not only didn't he use his position to enrich himself, but the Akad Shmoni tells us that like Aaron HaKohen, he quietly and modestly tried to avoid judging cases by speaking and trying to put parties together and make shalom between them. But his greatest quality exhibited in this week's Haftarah was his positivity. He promised Am Yisrael that despite their previous averus, a glorious future was guaranteed for them if only they followed the new king and in the ways of the Torah. I think that no one represented this ideal more than Mark Alav Hashalom. Although quiet and unassuming, Mark was respected by everyone, especially because of the way he acted and conducted himself and the love that transpired. Despite all of the obstacles in his path, he was always upbeat and positive. Every second, every breath, no matter how difficult, was another opportunity. The glass was always full, never half empty. And if you did something for him, his appreciations had no bounds. When Mark won a Sefer Torah, it became his mission. It very likely may have prolonged his life. When the yeshiva arranged to bring him Sefer Torah to his house on Simchas Torah, he did not know how to thank everybody. His kids dancing around him, his boys with the Sefer Torah, brought him tremendous joy. And he celebrated with positivity and just gave off happiness. He was extremely appreciative of everything that Yeshiva Yitzchak did, Ohel, and his extended family, even though in truth he really enriched all of our lives. His legacy to all of us, and especially to his family, his children, is to be positive and to appreciate every second as an opportunity, especially every kol neshima neshima, each and every breath. May Mark's neshama have an aliyah, yehi zichro baruch. I'd like to call up Meir to make the siyum on Shisha Shidur Mishnah.
The last Mishnah in Sechtas Uktsin says, Amar Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi. Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi said, Asit HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Lahamkil Kol Tzadik V'Tzadik, Shalesh Meiris V'Asara Olamos. In the next world, Hashem will make each tzaddik inherit 310 worlds. Shenemar, as it says, Lahamkil Ive Yesh V'Yitzrehem Amali. As it says that those that love me should inherit Yesh, which is the gematria, numerical value of 310. Amar Rabbi Shimon ben Chalavta. Rabbi Shimon ben Chalavta said, Lo imata kadish baruch hu kli mechazik bracha li Yisrael. The Hashem didn't find the container that could hold all the brachas for Klal Yisrael. Ela hashalom, except for peace. Shenemar, as it says, Hashem oiz lama yitain, Hashem yivarech esamay bashalom. Hadran Allah Sisi Sidre Mishnah Vahadra Chalan. Daitan Allah Sisi Sidre Mishnah Vadaita Chalan. Lain's name Minach Sisi Sidre Mishnah Vallah's name Minan Laba Amma Hadim Vallah Amma Dase. Hadran Allah Sisi Sidre Mishnah Vahadra Chalan. Daitan Allah Sisi Sidre Mishnah Vadaita Chalan. Lain's name Minach Sisi Sidre Mishnah Vallah's name Minan Laba Amma Hadim Vallah Amma Dase. Here it's saying Milfanacha Hadina Yelahinu Vilhevisinu. Shitehei, Saris Club, and Munisin by Lama Zev, Zihay, Manu, Lama Bacha, Nina Bar Papa, Rami Bar Papa, Nachman Bar Papa, Chai Bar Papa, Abamari Bar Papa, Rafran Bar Papa, Rakish Bar Papa, Saruka Bar Papa, Ada Bar Papa, Daru Bar Papa. Harev Nadi Nayel Hinu, Estevre, Saris Club, Efinu, Uvinus, Amchal, Bishisrael, Vinia, Anachnu, Lami Lishmar, Velasis, Lakaim, Escol Divre, Samus Dekavava, Uzakos, Kalatainam, Amaram, Samidik, Achim, Yamili, Uzari, Shaloi, Samish Matami, Fi, Zari, Vizera Zari, Ad Oilam, Miskayim, B, Miskaleka, Tinkan, Isaf, Pishimaka, Tishmar, Lecha, Kisaisa, Hishaka, Kivi, Yerbu, Yamaka, Vesifu, Lakha, Shnaisayim, Irekmim, Bimima, Vishnoima, I serve a Kavite, Adinai, Islamitain, Adinai, Vareha, Samai Bashaloi. Skadal viskadash mirabah.
Amen.
Bama dehu dasid liskai chaya ula achya mesa ula hasin yadin lachai oma umevinyi karta nirshlaim ushkach lola hikala megava umekar polchana nekura min ara ve asava polchana dishmaya laarte vamlech kushim bereku makusein vikarei vichai chayinu viyami chayinu vichai dechol bis Yisrael bagalav azman kariv imra amen yehei shmei rabam mivarach olam olay amaya yisbarach vishabach 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 vishadar vishalav vishalol shim shabarachu leim mankal barachasa vishirasa tishbachasa vnechamasa damar amam avim ra amen all Yisrael rabam al tamidim val kol tamidim samidim val kol mandoskim raisa adim barasa hadim
Rav Shmuel Wallerstein, Rav Pinchas Wallerstein, Rishos, the Chashva Mishpacha, the Katz Mishpacha, and my Rebbe, Rav Michal Miller. Baruch Hashem, I have the schus to learn from almost every single day for so many years. It says in the Pasuk, Parshas Balak, Matoivu Oyhalecha Yaakov. Nishkenoi Secha Yisrael. Chazal note that there are two oiholim mentioned, two tents that are mentioned in this pasuk. And there are numerous mamori chazal that elaborate upon the nature of the two tents, the double tent, the tent of Torah, the tent of Tefillah. But today, we're here today to make a siyum. L'ilu Nishmas, our chover, Moshe Rafael, Ben Abihuda Leib, Hakoyen. Rafael Moshe, Rafael Moshe. I'm sorry, Al-Khanan, Moshe Rafael, Ben Rabbi Yehuda Leib, Zichroinu Levracha. We know that Mark served for 18 years for the organization Ohel. Ohel here is now around the corner. Ohel is a very, very chashuv organization that deals with special needs children and many other services. And I was not aware, I think many of us were not aware, the degree, the scope of Mark's role in the organization, in this incredible institution. And after his patira, there were numerous write-ups. And one after the other, the staff described Mark not just that he was a gentle, honest, good person, a mensch, a friend, but they described how he had such incredible sensitivity to parents who were in a very difficult state when their children were enrolled in the services of Ohel. And it right away occurred to me that this was really what Mark was about. Mark, I learned not that long ago, had a very special affinity to Birchas Kohanim. Here in the yeshiva, Baruch Hashem, the Rosh Yeshiva are Kohanim. And by example, they take a lot of pride in Birchas Kohanim. And Mark, Motzo Min Esminoi, Mark, he found a place where they appreciate what Birchas Kohanim is all about. And there are three brachas in Birchas Kohanim: Yivarechecha Hashem v'yishmerecha, bracha. Mark's participation in Ohel brought them incredible, incredible bracha. Incredible growth. When Mark was there, the 18 years that he was there, Ohel experienced explosive growth in their programs, in their achievements, in the chesed they have done for Klal Yisrael. Yoyer Hashem Pono Ve'lecha V'chuneka. The staff described him as a person that would look at you, speak to you with a soft spoken tone, deal with you responsibly, make sure that the outcome would be in your benefit, not in the benefit of the institution or anyone else's benefit. His countenance, his conversation, his dealing with the people who he served, it shone. There was a ha'oras panim. And the last, so obvious, the last pasuk of Birchas Kohanim is Yiso Hashem Pono Ve'lecha. I'm sure many of you know that the slogan of OL is elevating lives every day. What does it mean? Yiso Hashem Pono, may Hashem lift up to elevate lives. Mark didn't just bless. Didn't just bless Klal Yisrael, B'lev Shalem. He lived it. He lived it day in, day out for Klal Yisrael. He brought bracha. He brought ha'aras panim. He elevated. Mr. Mendel is here, the CEO of Ohel. We're describing Mark's role in Ohel. He fulfilled with beauty the last part of Birchos Kohanim, Yiso Hashem Pono Ve'lecha, the slogan of Logel, elevating lives every single day. But Rabbi Yisai, the Pasuk says, Matovu Oyholech, Oyholech is B'loshon Rabim. There's not just one Oyhel. There's another Oyhel in the Pasuk. It says in the Pasuk, the Malach said to Avraham Avinu, Ayei soro ishtecha. And Avraham Avinu said, Hinei ba'oihel. Avraham Avinu described his wife, his partner, as being in the oihel. And Rashi says, tsunua. The word oil has a connotation of an isha tsunua, a woman who cares for the children, a woman who's oversees everything there is to be taken care of and done on behalf of her husband, the family, in the role of chinuch, hadracha. Hinei ba'oihel. And Baruch Hashem, we have here in the yeshiva, we see all the time the three boys and the one girl, Meir, which made the siyum, Binyamin, Ben, Shragi, the Yelet Sha'ashuim, he has a little shin. To me, it looks like he's wearing tefillin on his head. He has the shin of a role called Am Eretz Kishem Hashem Nikra Olecha. And Miri got to know a little bit the family. All of this is the Oihel. Ayei Soro Yishtecha Hinei Bo Oihel. The product of his Rebbetzin, Ahuva. Tibodul Chaim Toiv Maruchim. daughter of my dear chaver, Rebbe Abichol Miller. Matoivu oy holecho Yaakov. Two oy holim. But the pasuk goes on. Mishkin oy secho Yisrael. The seed of the shloishim l'ilui nishmasa is here in the yeshiva. In the Mishkan. Mark told me numerous times. He said, I'm not making this up. He said to me many times, the only reason why he's remaining in Flatbush to live here and settle in Flatbush is because of the Wallersteins. Because of the yeshiva. The yeshiva is his place. He has found a mokrim choshuv, a place that he belongs to, a family, a yeshiva that knows what's right, has their focus in the right place, and this is his mokoim. This is where he belongs. Mishkin oisecha Yisrael. Mark was such a gentle person. He was so honest. He was soft-spoken. He never got angry. Devoted. You can talk with him about anything. Anything. From sports to Chidushei Torah, politics. It was such a pleasure. It was such a breath of fresh air. We want to wish special bracha to his mother, Tibadu L'chaim Toiv Maruchim. Of course, to his in-laws, Michal and Joyce, and to his brother-in-law that's over here, and all of the mishpachas, the mishpachas, the cat's extended family. To conclude, I just want to wish the mishpacha a bracha. After it says Matoiv Olecha Yaakov, the psukim go on and describe the beauty of Yaakov, and there it says Yizal Mayim Midolyoy. Midolyov. Yizal Mayim Midolyov is Zaroy B'mayim Rabim. That's the conclusion, the concluding bracha of the Matoivu. And it's our bracha, collective bracha from the entire yeshiva, from the chaverim, is that Mark's imprint, his legacy, the legacy of Matoivu. Point I forgot to mention, Matoivu in the Sefer Torah. There's a Mesoira. It must appear. B'roish Hadaf. It's one of the six columns in the Sefer Torah that is a Hakpada. It has to be B'roish Hadaf. The beautiful Sefer Torah here in the yeshiva. Spectacular, spectacular Sefer Torah. Matoiv Olecha Yaakov Mishkin Osecha Yisrael. This is the legacy of Mark. It's B'roish Hadaf. It's not hidden away in the corner on the side. It's something that has impacted us. It is something that we cherish. It is something that will live within us forever. The beauty, the toiv of the Oholim and the Mishkan of Mark. And the pasuk includes Yizal Mayim Midolyov. May water, Hoy Kol Tzomei L'chula Mayim, Ein Mayim Ela Torah. This Sefer Torah is just a symbol of who Mark was. And the same way we have the Sefer Torah and we learn from the Sefer Torah. But in the broader sense, may the Shefa of Bracha and his family, may it flow. May it continue to flow and to overflow. The water should flow from its Midolyov. There are many perushim as to what this means. From its buckets, from its wells, from its branches, all the different perushim, all the different dimensions of the mishpacha, may the water flow. Vizaroi and his children, his beautiful children, Meir, Ben, Shragi, Miri, the nachas he had from you is not possible to describe in words. The yearning he had that you continue to grow in Yerushalayim, Ahavas Torah, and succeed to be true B'nai Torah and Yiras Shamayim. This was his only desire. V'zaroi B'mayim Rabim. It should lead to greatness. Greatness in Mayim, the Mayim of Torah. Yi zichroi baruch, tein neshmoso itzurura b'tzror hachayim. He lives on within us. Thank you for coming. Thank you for listening.
The Gemara tells us at the end of Brachis of Samach, the Gemara tells us that there are certain brachas that we make in the morning, right when we see something, when we get out of our bed, when we start getting dressed. The Gemara tells us that when we put on our shoes in the morning, we make the bracha, which we do it in shul, we make them all in one order. But the Gemara says, but you do each item, you should make a certain bracha. The Gemara says, we make the bracha, sha'asali kol tzarki. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave, sha'asali kol tzarki. Whatever we need, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us. Even the shoes. A person needs shoes. You can't walk around without shoes. Sha'asali kol tzarki. Whatever I need, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave me. The Maisa, the Mefarshim, and the Maral speaks there in that great length. Going, what's the pshat? Why is it when you put on the shoes? A lot of things we need. That's the thing. Also, we call talking. So I'm going to quote a few things today from Linada from Rabbi Meilich Biederman. This is, he said this. This I heard this year. I had Baruch Hashem. I had to a small thing. I had to go to the hospital, and on the way to the hospital, that was the day. That was what he sent. Every day I get a WhatsApp from them. He said like this. He said, imagine you go into a shoe store. You're a young bacher, a good boy, right? Maybe a good boy going into 12th grade next year, right? Even though he missed the, he didn't come to our yeshiva, he's still a very good boy. Maybe that's the raya, he's a good boy now. And you go into the shoe store, man, and they tell you, they're trying the shoe. And you're size 10. Guy goes and says, nah, 10 for a guy like you doesn't pass. You are a chosh of a guy. You get a size 12. He says, I would like a size 10. That's my size that fits me. No, it doesn't make a difference. You're a chosh of a guy. You can't wear a size, whatever, you're a 32 suit, whatever you wear. You have to wear a 48 because you're still a chosh of a guy. You're laughing. What are you doing? My shoe size is not that size. So just like a person realizes in life, Rabbi Yisai, that obviously you don't go into the shoe store thinking if I should get a different size. Whatever size is my size, that's the size that Kodesh Baruch gave me. And that's what it is. You don't start thinking it through. Maybe I could get a bigger size. Maybe I shouldn't. Maybe I really should put on a size 6, even though I fear I'm a size 10. Only you don't know things like that. So a person has to realize that you're also called Chucky, whatever you're supposed to be. If you're supposed to live in Brooklyn, that's where you are. If you're supposed to be an only child, you're an only child. If you're supposed to be a Yosef at a certain age, that's the age I'm supposed to be. If you're supposed to, your parents are supposed to live longer than you're supposed to be, Nifta earlier than your parents. Sha'asali kol tzarki, whatever it is, I'm supposed to be in this yeshiva, I'm supposed to, this camp, boys registered in different camps this year, before, in January, I think of what camp. Little did they, had they know, they didn't know which camp, but now it comes out that some camps, even if it was maybe a better camp, but that camp's not even opening this summer. So didn't go to Calvin. And I mean, the camp that I was thinking to go to, or the opposite, I wasn't going to go to this camp, but you know, I thought I'll go to that camp. I'll go to this camp, even though I really wasn't. And now it came out that camp is the one that opened, and the other one didn't open. So also, because like, who's the one that's running this world? I was here running the yeshiva with my brother, obviously, many, many, many years. Mark is over here. And I can't go, we're not going to go into, we don't have the time to go into all the details. But I was zoich with my older brother to go to the hospital a few times. At the end of his life, everyone could take out, you know, everyone takes out from the same visit different things. Two things that I could take out, klar v'yitug, klar, clear. One is what I'm saying right now. There was Beli Tainish, also Lee called Sarki, and that was throughout his whole life over here in the yeshiva. He was Sefridin in his position. In other words, some people are working in OL right now. They're not happy where they are in their position. Deep down, they would like a higher position. or they would like to be in a different company. They have no choice. That they're so okay. So I'll stay in that in this company. Many people are not happy in where they are. Mark was always benachas where he was. He was happy with his house. He's happy with his children. He's happy with his life. His brother. Everyone, his whole life. He was going to tzefid nemesh. How does one go become tzefid? It's very simple. It's only if you believe that everything is coming from the Rebbeinu Shlom. If you know that it's all, everything here is only the Rebbeinu Shlom's doing. And the second thing is, and this is what every parent really should be, but not every parent is. And this is, I believe, maybe 2 or 3 years before Binyamin came to our yeshiva, he started to speak to me us about it already. His children was the most on his mind. He brought children down to the world. And now from Shemaim, he has a different view, Baruch Hashem. He's a different view. Over here, he saw Nachas. He was able to see it. But now, he sees it a little clearer. A little clearer how beautiful all his children behave. He saw throughout the entire, the ending of it and the last few months. How they say Kaddish Baruch Hashem so beautifully. The whole surah of the family is something that anyone could be very, very proud of. And it came from a lot of work. And I have to say over here, because really it's not here to speak, and I don't want to speak too much. But the fact is that Mrs. Katz, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, should bless you, because most parents don't have what you have. They don't have it. They don't have what it takes. I'm truly excited. I don't want to say, some parents, they think that out of neglect, out of not, or maybe they don't love their children as much, or they just don't have the guts. They just say yes, 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 yes. And sometimes to say no is hard. You kill your child. No, because they're the best for the kid. And to be by yourself and to hold up like that, but with love and with sensitivity and with smartness and with... God should bless you. You should continue being able to raise your children the way that you are, in the correct way, not being, with a lot of love, but that they should go. And also, by the way, you have to go the other way. That's good, that the way the children listen back. That they understand that they have a mother, the mother saying or something, and that they're listening. A second nekuda I want to speak about. This is very good. They put over a clock. I never had this before. 7 minutes and 12 seconds. That's like, and I'm an ADD guy, so I don't like to speak. So I'm not going to speak. So I'm not going to say my next point. Because it's too loud. I see a clock clicking in a second. But I'd like to just end off with what he said. I can't. The clock is. Turn off the clock. The turn of the clock, that I could say a mice from Steinman. Unbelievable mice. It's good for people to understand because we don't live like this. One of the grandchildren asked of Steinman, they saw that he was speaking once and the microphone was not in place. Was high up to him, and he didn't move it down. And he noticed this comma pump that his grandfather didn't touch the mic when he would speak. Sometimes they touch it, and they would move it. So he asked Rav Steinman, why don't you touch the microphone to pull it down to where you are? So he said, I trained, I'm not on this level, Chas v'Shalom, but I'm saying Rav Steinman, he said, I trained my hands not to touch what's not mine. The microphone's not mine, I trained my hands not to touch this microphone. That's a Meister Rav Steinman. I want to end off, because the mice will okay him over here. Even the guests are having you part of our family, so some of you related over here. But Levine spoke so beautiful, so I can't talk like that. But I could say, unbelievable, Chaim. He said, "You see," he said, "the Birchas Kahanim Yivrecha Hashem Yishmarecha." So first, the person has to be blessing is very good. That's kavaldik to be blessed, but a person has to be watched first. I'd rather first just give me at least I should be watched. I should be protected. That's the first, and then I have to, after I've got my basic protection, give me the big brachas. Yivarechicha, the bracha in this family, the Birchas Kahanim, over here that they do yontiv, Shobzech to go to Yitzrael, say it every day. Yivarechicha Hashem will give this family, the Katz family, such brachas, that it's going to have to be v'yishmarecha, that we're going to need a shmira. It's going to be so good to be watched to my inhara, to be watched, that's beruchnis, magashmias. All over the ganze thing is be such a big yivarechicha that it's going to be needed of yishmerecha to watch such a big bracha to come to this family in a very, very quick time. Be as Goyal said, it may have been amen. It's 9 minutes and 28 seconds.
Just want to share something very quickly. After the war, 1946, the Friedrich Belzer Rebbe came to Eretz Yisrael. It was Pesach, and he was in a shul in Tel Aviv. But some of the remnants of the people that survived the war, the only thing these people had was the clothing on their back. It was Pesach night, and some of the other old people in the neighborhood came in. They said, Rebbe, can you say a couple of words before Pesach? Rebbe said, okay. Got up to asked, Moshe, tell me, you're ready for Pesach tonight? Moshe says, no. What kind of Pesach? A couple of years ago, I sat in Varsha. I sat in my house, a house with 20 people sitting by my table. Tonight, I have nothing. I have nothing. And the Belzer Rebbe itself went around the room. Shimon, you ready for Pesach? And Shimon says, no. I survived, for what? I lost everything I had. I survived, but I have nothing. And the Rebbe says, I want to share something with you. He says, please listen to me. He says, you think this is the first time tonight that Klal Yisrael went through such a thing? He says, no, we went through this before. When the Eden came out of Mitzrayim, you know it says, Az Yashir Moshe, then Moshe will sing, future. He should have said, Ashar Moshe, then Moshe sang. So the Belzer Rebbe said, the truth is, the people did not want to sing with Moshe Rabbeinu. 80% of Klal Yisrael passed away, died during the Makkah of Choshech, 12 million Jews. So they came out and they were free. They said, yeah, we're free. But look who's missing. Look what's missing. They couldn't sing. They couldn't bring themselves to sing. So Moshe Rabbeinu said, there's going to be an Az Yashir, a future day. There's going to be another day. And we're all going to sing. The mamas, the tatas, the brida, the shvesta, the tzin, the tachter, the babas and the zaydis are going to come back. Moshe Rabbeinu assured us that the day is going to happen. And we've been waiting for the day. And I hope it's will be the curve mamish enough. There's plenty of people that have to come back. Mark started writing a beautiful song. Beautiful words, beautiful harmonies. And Mark never got a chance so far to finish the song. But Mark accomplished at 40, most people don't accomplish at 80, and not until 80 and 90. Mark lived every day. But he accomplished days other people couldn't do in weeks, months, maybe even years. But I want to share with everybody tonight that song that Elchanan Moshe Rafael Ben Hadassah started, Baruch Hashem, it's continued. The song is not ended. To see the four children, to see what they're becoming, to see how they have handled, to see how they're growing as people, B'nai Torah Yerushalayim, it's the song that Elchanan Moshe started, the kids and the family continuing. Huvi, you're a giant. You're a giant. To be able to continue that song, most people couldn't do it. And you're doing it. And maybe, not just as good, even better, in many ways, than Elchanan Moshe Rafael. Let the day come, we're all going to sing, and everybody's going to be here. And all of our songs that we started to write will be completed. It'll be the biggest Kiddush Hashem ever.
First, I'd like to thank everybody for coming. It's hard not to be emotional without my brother
And to follow up on all the speeches that were spoken tonight, and I'm going to try not to be emotional. My brother always separated his emotions from his understanding, so I'm going to try to focus on the text and on my brother and what he left and what he means to us. Since his passing, this is not even typed yet. Since his passing, I think the world has been a much different place, a much dimmer place. We live in such uncertain times, and my brother left at a time, I think, a turning point before things became very unclear, chaotic, and confusing to us who live here and who have to bear the burden of today's events. So it's been very hard. What do I say about my brother that hasn't been said? How do I follow up after the speeches tonight, especially after what Rabbi Wallerstein said, Rabbi Zucker spoke about my brother and his commitment to life, to Torah, to his family. So it's like, what can I leave as a message or a Torah principle to everyone that is attending today's Tzium/Shloshim to commemorate his memory? So in terms of learning a Mishnah, of course I chose the shortest one. Commitment issues, but it works. There needs to be humor. So I chose Kinim, and I did learn it, and I have no idea what it's talking about with animal and bird offerings, but I know it has to deal with Kohanim. And being a Kohen, it's applicable. As Rabbi Wallerstein said, there are a lot of Kohanim in attendance tonight. So I chose the Agadah, the end of the Mishnah, which tells a story and talks about wisdom and understanding. So in Mishnah Kinim, it ends with Rabbi Shimon ben Akashia Omer, Zikne Amha Aretz Kol Zaman Shemazkinin Datam Mitarefes Alehen Shneema Mese Shafa Lineaman V'Taam Zikinim Yikach Aval Zikne Taras Enan Kain Ela Kol Zaman Shemazkinin Datan Mishyasheves Alehen Shneema V'Shishim Chachma V'Orech Yamim Sivuna. So Rabbi Shimon ben Akashia says, people that are elderly, unlearned men, as they continue to age, their mind gets confused. As it is stated, he removes the speech of the capable and takes away the reasoning of the elderly. But elders of Torah are not like that. Rather, as an elder of Torah, as they age, their minds become even more settled, as it is stated, in the aged is wisdom, and in the length of days, understanding. My brother, unfortunately and painfully, he was not blessed with older years to live. He was only 46 years old, and being his twin brother, it hits me, heartfelt in many different ways, on many different levels. But my brother, even though his life was short physically, in physical years measured by time, he was very privileged to possess both wisdom and understanding as his illness increased and as his limitations of functioning of his physical abilities were decreasing. Just off the record, the more ill he became, the more homebound he became, the more knowledgeable he became, and the more wisdom he gained and he tried to share with others. My brother never complained to me about his illness, which I always found as outstanding that, wow, you have stage 4 cancer and he's been through many treatments and surgeries and he never complained, why did this happen to me? Why did God do this to me? My brother never said anything negative to me. He was always very limited and careful with his words and with his speech, especially when it came to his illness. He only would share information that he thought we needed to know, as much as it was limited, but I understand in hindsight why he did that. It was to care and to protect his loved ones and his family. His illness, as some of you may have known, originated in his kidneys and his adrenal gland. In Hebrew, the kidneys are called kliot, and it's just fascinating because kliot is also used as another term for wisdom. The function of your kidneys is to filter waste products from nutrients, what is good for the body and what is unhealthy that doesn't benefit one's body. So like wisdom, being able to discern what's true and what's false. My brother had a very good understanding of distinguishing, especially as time passed, what was true to him and to others and what was considered falsehood. And he never had a problem telling me what my priorities should be. It says in Talmud Bavli, in Brachos, that a man has two kidneys. One kidney advises him to do good, and the other one advises him for bad. My brother, unfortunately, lost a kidney. And today, I was on the Upper East Side, and I drove by Sloan Kettering, and I was on York Avenue and East 73rd Street. Ended up at a dead end, and I realized there was a kosher bagel store that we went to when my brother had surgery, which is like 2 years ago. I'm like, why am I ending up on this street? And it brought back a lot of memories. And so I know his presence and a lot of his health care was done, you know, in that neighborhood. And it made me just think about his illness and about when he lost his kidney. And, you know, I'm not allowed to mention the F word, Facebook. For those of you that don't have social media, they shared a memory today, and it was a picture of me and my brother 2 years ago, and it was the first time he was able, you know, to get out of bed for the first time. And I was there when he got out of bed, and he felt so rejuvenated, filled with life and health and with positivity to push forward. I don't know how he did it. I didn't understand the extent of his illness. I don't know what he knew, what we knew, what the doctors knew, but he pushed forward with an attitude for living. The kidneys also represent emotion, and it also represents consciousness and clarity. And I know we spoke about that. I think Rabbi Zucker touched upon it just before. But I just want to go over the difference between knowledge and wisdom. Knowledge is possessing a mental understanding of certain information, whereas wisdom is the practical ability to use your knowledge to make good decisions constantly throughout your life. I can firmly state that Mark, my twin brother, personified wisdom in every aspect of his life. One thing about my brother I never doubted was his clarity. Whether it be personal matters, family matters, work-related decisions, or friendship, my brother used his wisdom for his personal growth, for his religious growth, for career growth, and this all this attributed to both his knowledge and wisdom. He was a man of wisdom, a man of also understanding. And it's very hard as time goes by, a person leaves this world and you can, you know, the impact decreases, their memory may fade, but my brother's memory is still very strong and alive today and every day of my life, of his family lives, and of those of his coworkers that he made impressions upon. We mentioned the word legacy, and I know I mentioned at the funeral, my brother had no regret or remorse. And it does say that your kidneys do represent also remorse and regret. And he did say he left a legacy, and his legacy, like we mentioned earlier, is his family, his wife, Huvi, and his children. And my brother, his memory not only lives on, but his attitude, his commitment to Torah, his lasting contributions to the world, to Ohel, continue to live on not only for today, but for a better and brighter tomorrow, which should be filled with happiness and bracha. And I know my brother always had faith in his family, and I just want to thank the Wallerstein family for initiating and sponsoring the Siyum and the Shloshim today. I want to thank Yitz Schlanger. Very humble, undeserving, very similar to my brother. He's a man of action, and he really came through without putting any burden upon the family. And I just want to acknowledge Huvi, because she's my brother's wife. You know, she is his beloved. And I know, like Rabbi Zicker said, it's a major undertaking to raise a family, and to raise four children by herself is an amazing task. But I know myself and my mother and my extended family, we all have faith and love in Huvi for continuing the dreams of Mark, his mission for living a Torah true life. And we see it in their four children. And every time I see their beautiful children, each of them remind me of his knowledge, of his humor, of his character, and of the beauty that remains in the world. And I think it's the greatest gift that someone can leave. And we're very lucky that his family will continue to grow and to carry on his legacy, his Torah values, and his memory in a way that will leave an imprint for many generations to come. I love my brother very much, and I miss him. Thank you.
I would like to start off by thanking everybody for coming tonight. I'd also like to thank everyone who helped learn the Mishnayos in honor of my father's neshama, Elchanan and Maishra Fal ben Yehuda Leib HaKayin Olav HaShalei. The Pasuk says, in the beginning of Parshas Chaya Sarah, when Sarah Imenu passed away, Vayavi Avram lehesped leSarah uliv kaisa. And Avraham came to eulogize Sarah and to cry for her. The Kli Yakar asks two questions on this Pasuk. His first question is, why doesn't the Pasuk write it the other way around, liv kaisa, to cry, and then lehesped, to eulogize? That would make a lot more sense, because first you cry, and then you eulogize. His second question is, why does the Pasuk say Sarah's name in the middle? It should have said, the Hesped of Kaisa LeSarah. He eulogized and cried for Sarah. So why does the Pasuk stick Sarah's name in the middle? The Kli Yakar answers that many times when someone is Nifter, even though you have the whole Levaya and the Ar Hespedim, you don't completely understand the magnitude of the loss. That's why the Pasuk says he cried after he eulogized, because he started to comprehend the extent of his loss. Because first Avram eulogized Lehesped LeSarah, Kama, and then later on Uluv Kaisa, he cried for her. I think this is very applicable to us. My father, Olav HaShalem, passed away 103 days ago. That's 3 months and 11 days, or 14 weeks and 5 days. And we had a Levaya, and we had a Spedim, and then we had this whole Corona thing in the middle, in which everyone's lives were upside down. But now, when things are starting to get back to normal, we start to realize how much we have truly lost. It says in Pirkei Avos, "Im ein ani li mi li, if not for me, who will be for me? U'kishani la'atzmi, ma'ani, and when I am for myself, what am I? Vim layakshav emasai, and if not now, then when?" Rav Shimon Shkop adds a deeper meaning to this phrase in the introduction to his Sefer Shaar Yashar. He says, everybody has their own ani, that you have to take care of yourself, your family, your children. Because if you're not involved, right, you have to make a living, you have to stay healthy. Because if you're not involved in your ani, emein ani li, then mi li, who will be there for you? But if your ani is only about yourself, ukishani la'atzmi, and not about helping other people, then ma'ani, what am I? What kind of selfish person am I? This is the perfect balance of how to run your life. You can only achieve this if you have humility, and as you start thinking more and more about other people, it leads to you gaining another midah, character trait, of not taking things for granted, as you begin to realize how much you do have because you are so involved in other people's lives. This midah of focusing on other people and trying to help other people comes from living your life this way. The Midrash says that anyone who does chesed, it is as if he is thanking Hashem for all the nisim miracles that he's performed since Kriyas Yamsuf, the splitting of the sea. Because a person that is always thinking about and helping other people realizes that everything doesn't just come to him naturally and that it is all a gift from Hashem. Therefore, he stops to take things for granted. My father, Alav HaShalom, lived his life this way. A life filled with chesed and thinking about other people, as it was said over by the Levaya, by many people. As everyone knows, he pushed himself to do many things, like to be honored by my yeshiva's dinner last year, to make the Hachnasa Sefer Torah, and to even come to the Or Yitzchak dinner when he was very, very sick. Not for his own kavod, but rather for the sole purpose of making other people feel good. I know it was mentioned already, but I feel it's worthwhile to mention it again. For the last 6 months of his life, he had a lot of difficulty breathing, and he said over many times how thankful you have to be for every single breath you take. I even remember he was once telling this to a group of people who came to visit him, and afterwards he said something that shocked me. He said, "Even I take my breathing for granted." I immediately said to him, "Daddy, what do you mean you take your breathing for granted?" He said back to me, "I take the fact that I can breathe on my own, the little bit that I do, for granted, but the truth is I should be thankful that I am not on a respirator." That is what type of a person he was, always looking for the positivity in life and always being thankful for what he had. The world is truly a different place without him, and he is greatly missed. Thank you.